Hey, as those kids were singing, this didn't happen in the first service, but as they were singing, I recalled back when I first entered the ministry. It was probably 1975. I felt like I had a desire to write a book, and I was going to title it "A Child Shall Lead Them," and the small underneath it would be "Will We Follow?" Because it's the childlike heart that God wants us to have. We are not to be childish, but we're to have a childlike heart. And I think that he reminded me of that, because the message that I want to share with you will be brief in its content, but it was really triggered by their decision to talk about the gifts that we give to Jesus. So I've titled this message, "The Gift," and I'd like to talk with you about the importance and the significance of bringing presents. You don't have to tell me, and I don't have to tell many of you, that Christmas is all about Jesus. It's not about presents. It's about his presence. But I think it would be wrong for us to say that Christmas has nothing to do with presents. It has nothing to do with gifts. Because many times the presents that we give to each other are an expression of our love, our appreciation, and our thankfulness for those that we give a gift to. And oftentimes it's those presents that make a statement about the presence of that person in our midst. So I want to talk with you about gifts, because in Matthew 2, 9 through 11, a part of the Christmas story talks about some wise men coming to Jesus, and he says this. It says, "After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary." This is not at his birth. This is probably a year or maybe even up to 2 years later. So what we learn from this little text is that gifts aren't exchanged only at Christmas, but throughout our lives as well. It says, "Coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures, and they presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." These wise men were making a statement to Jesus. His mother Mary was there and overheard this statement of praise and adoration. And that's what our gifts are all about. It brings honor, it brings praise, and to especially the one who is being honored. Friday night, I went to a retirement party of a good friend of ours, and in this retirement party, there were many people who brought gifts. I brought a gift as well. I presented it to the person, and it was a statement from me to them, from my heart, saying, "Well done. You've worked hard. You've served well. Well done." And so that's the purpose of a gift. When we give birthday presents, when we give special occasion presents, when we give Christmas presents, it's a cultural thing, but I think it's deeper than a cultural thing. I think the giving of gifts is biblically based. You cannot read, even a cursory reading of the scriptures shows you that gifts are given by God from the very beginning all the way to the end. We're even told that we need, as people, to believe that he not only exists, but he is a rewarder. He's one who wants to give gifts to people. That's why today it's so significant for those of you who don't look forward to the celebration because something negative has been happening. You need to hear the word that was said to you: the enemy's power has been broken. You can rejoice because God has come. That's a gift of deliverance. There's gifts of healing. There's gifts of peace that God gives. This extravagant love, the title of the series that we're in for a couple of weeks, his extravagant love is revealed through his gifts, especially the gift of his son who came to rescue us. We are no longer, as that song said, alone. We have a savior. So his extravagant love is revealed to us through these gifts, and they come in many different forms and shapes. Now, there's a scripture that I'd like to have us read together. It's in your bulletin. May want to take notes. You may not want to. Either one is fine with me. But it's found in 2 Corinthians 9:15. So if you have a bulletin, open it up. It's right at the top. I'd like to have us read together this statement that Paul makes when he says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." So together, 2 Corinthians 9:15, let's say that. Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. That word in the Message is translated his extravagance. Thanks be to God for being an extravagant God who has loved us beyond our ability to articulate, beyond our ability to say thanks. It's the first song that we sang, joy, unspeakable joy. It's difficult to say the words that really mean as much as the joy that we have because of him. They're inexpressible because of his extravagance. I hope that every hand goes up when I ask you this question, but I'm wondering, how many of you have received at some time in your life a gift that was so extravagant, so beyond what you deserved, so beyond your ability to articulate thanks, but they gave it to you and you received it and you just were flabbergasted? I mean, you just like, wow, this just blows my mind. Has anybody received a gift like that? If you haven't, I tell you, God's given us those types of gifts. I hope that before you die, you'll be able to receive something like that in practical form. Last week we talked about Mary, who poured out some very expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. And the reason she did that is she embraced this inexpressible, undefinable gift called his love. She received forgiveness, she received freedom, and she received his favor. She couldn't put it into words. All she could do is weep and pour ointment on his feet. That's the type of gift that many of us, hopefully all of us, will receive. I received that type of gift just this last week, or at least I was reminded of it, and it brought tears to my eyes. On Tuesday evening here, Donna and I were sitting in the back row, this section right here, all the way up back. I tend to sit here because I have a part in the service, but if I weren't having a part in the service, I would sit in various places, and my human tendency would be always to sit the furthest away. So whenever I go to these events, it was a Christmas party for kids from Kings River Hardwick School. My grandson's in Kings River Hardwick. He's in the fourth grade. They had a children's presentation, so I was coming to that. And so we came a little bit early, probably about 600 or 700 people here at the time, and we were sitting way up back. Place began to fill up. There was at least 800 people. The next night, the same school did it for different grades, and there were over 1,000 people here. And as Donna and I are sitting there, I began to look around, and I looked at the Christmas trees, and I looked at the front here, and the time that the helpers and people who volunteered to decorate everything, I began to start to tear up. And I turned to Donna, and I says, this is what Paul was talking about. This is an indescribable gift that God has given to you and me. He's brought us here to Hanford and put us in this family. Do you know there's only 55,000 people who want to be in Hanford? All the millions of others, they don't want to be here. But from my vantage point, as I was sitting back there, and she too, you know, she agreed, and we've talked about this before, how incredibly gracious God is to us to bring us in 2004 to Hanford, California, and place us in a church that really does not just think about themselves, but thinks about the world. That's been our feeling for a lot of years. We want to not just be about us four no more. We want to touch the world for Jesus Christ. We do have a Savior, and we do want to tell everybody of what he can do for them. He has freedom available. He has favor to offer them. He has forgiveness that they can walk in. We want them to know that, and we've been placed here. Incredible, incredible gift. About 2 months ago, I received, as the lead pastor on behalf of you, I received a monetary gift for the downtown, the Love Downtown project. If you are visiting or you may not know, be aware, we're in the midst of a project called Love Downtown. We've purchased a building thanks to your generosity. We've been able to pay for it cash. 111 7th Street, right down the middle of town. It's being remodeled to house our staff. But it's also, we have the vision to have a cafe that will touch the community and provide a place for them to congregate and to enjoy a cup of coffee together. And so that vision started several months ago. We threw it out to you. We said we'd like to have you consider making a pledge. Many of you did. Some of you have given even though you didn't pledge, which is wonderful. Money started to come in. I told the staff, I says, I really feel like we're supposed to pay for this cash without going into any further debt. The board agreed with that. So we've been praying. Money came in, enough money so that we could start. We started the project. We were getting right at the point just a few months ago where we said, he says, I'm not sure we should take the second step because we've taken the first one, told the congregation enough money hasn't come in, so I'm a little leery to step, take another step until we have a confirmation. In that week, I was speaking here. I walked off the platform. Pastor Roger grabbed me there because he's the one who oversees the finances. When we take an offering, we don't want anything to happen to that. We want always to oversee that with purity. So we have a couple of people always engaged with that, and one of the pastors oversees that. They were in the back room. He called me here, and he says, I want to show you this because it's just a statement of God's gift to us. And the gift was a large sum of money, and when I say large, I mean very, very, very large. Now, I've been in the ministry for over 40 years, but I have personally never seen some individual give a gift of that magnitude, and it was designated to the Love Downtown. It was that gift that caused us to say, let's take the next step. God will provide. So it was a gift that was so large, it was this Corinthians statement from Paul, indescribable. I didn't know what to say. I actually called my former pastor, Pastor Roger Whitlow from Valley Christian Center, who's been in the ministry for longer than I have. The church that I was at went to about 2,500 people. And I said, have you, in all of your tenure, the 50 years plus ministry, have you ever received a gift? And I told him the amount of the check. He says, I have never personally received a gift like that. See, that is supernatural, an inexpressible gift. Because of that, the project has not stalled. Now, I do want you to know, for those of you who are visiting, some of you here, I do not check finances. I don't think it's wrong for a lead pastor or a senior pastor to check finances because there's something that is said through a person's giving. But I choose for me personally not to get involved in what a person gives in a monetary basis. So generally speaking, I would not know if someone gave that. And I definitely would not know who, had it not been for Roger catching me on the way out. So when he did that, I called the person and I said, hey, listen, and not called them. I spoke to them in person and had a conversation. I expressed my thanks, even though it was kind of an indescribable effort. I tried to say thank you. And I says, what motivated you? And here's not in these words, but this person conveyed to me, it really is not a love for you. Now, they didn't say that to me, but this is what I heard. It's really not a love even for Koinonia. It's a love for God. And what I believe in, and what I believe that he is doing in this day. I want to be a part of what he's doing. That's the same type of love that Mary had last week that we talked about it. That's a love gift that's acceptable to the Lord. See, when you get into the Bible and you start studying about gifts, the very fourth chapter of Genesis teaches you and me something. It's the story of Cain and Abel. I don't want you to turn there. I don't want you to study that now. But if you know about the story of Cain and Abel, it's a story of offerings that are brought to God. And one offering is acceptable and one offering is not acceptable. And so throughout Scripture, you see there are some things that when you give a gift, it will be received, and sometimes it will not be received. I remember someone back in the 70s when we were trying to purchase a house offered us $5,000 to help us with a down payment. Believe me, we wanted to take that money to help us get the house that we wanted and felt like at first that was God's provision, but something in my spirit said, if I take that money, there'll be strings attached. And so I said no to that, and God provided for that house another way. But sometimes you don't want to receive a gift because it's unacceptable under certain conditions. Let me give you three things. If you're taking notes, you're welcome to. Three gifts that are unacceptable. Number one, gifts from the hand, but they're not connected to the heart. Whenever you give something with your hand, but your heart's not in it, it's not acceptable to God. People can look good on the outside, and they can compliment you and flatter you, but on the inside, oftentimes, it's a total different story. Sometimes the hand doesn't always show what's happening in the heart. There's a scripture in Matthew 15:8 that says, "These people honor me with their lips," God's saying, "but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." They come to church and they listen, but they don't adhere to the word that I say. See, all of us right now are giving God a gift of our time. You could be doing whatever you want to do. You could be out having breakfast this morning. You could be sleeping in late. You could be having a latte. You could be doing anything. But you chose, along with me, to give a gift of time, about an hour and a half. Today it's going to be about an hour and 15 minutes. So you're going to get out a little early. But we give him a gift of time. But see, if your gift of time is just being here, but your mind is someplace else, and your heart is not here, you may be close in proximity geographically, but you're far away in your hearts. See, those gifts are not acceptable. Why is it that so many people go to church and so little change happens in the lives of people? Could it be, and I ask the question, that sometimes we come out of rote or because of whatever reason, but my heart's really not into it. I'm listening and hearing, but I'm really not engaged enough to say, I'm really going to do something about that. It's just kind of, I'm there, but I'm not really there. Those gifts, when you bring those to the Lord, they're not acceptable to Him. The second gift is the gift of leftovers. Sometimes we give God the leftovers. Well, I spent all my money, there's a tip jar, I don't want to carry the pennies around anyway, so I throw them in the tip jar. And I mean, it's with that attitude. I'm going to read a scripture from Malachi. Listen, it's pretty tough. I don't know how I would react if God spoke this to me. But here's what it says from Malachi 1:8. See, they were bringing an offering to God. They were supposed to bring something that was pure and clean, but they were bringing to him something that was broken and defiled. And here's what God says. Listen to this. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, isn't there something wrong with that? When you sacrifice lame and diseased animals, is that not wrong? Why don't you try giving them to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? Isn't there something wrong with that? We have a canned food drive. Honey, we got to give to the church. We got a food drive. Go into the back and find those cans that are outdated. Let's bring them to them and give. Isn't there something wrong with that? It seems like there might be something. If someone just told me that there was something wrong, maybe I wouldn't have done it. He goes on, he says, "Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you?" Says the Lord Almighty, verse 10, "Oh, that one of you should shut the temple door so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord, and I will accept no offering from your hands." Don't bring God the leftovers. Don't just throw in, "Well, I've used it all on myself, but hey, the carpet's all worn out, and so let's give it to someone." You know, "Hey, go, I got holes in these pants, and I wouldn't wear them again anyway, so let's give them to the poor." No, give to the poor the good stuff. You take something right off the front of your rack, give it away. That's the acceptable offerings to the Lord. And three, when you give a gift that's birthed in selflessness versus selflessness. Selfishness and not selflessness, you'll find it's not acceptable. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, they were part of a family like this, and they had a kind of a love downtown project going on, and they took an offering and they gave a certain amount, but they pretended they gave more than they did because they wanted people to think better of them. They gave, but they lied about the giving. And that type of giving to the Lord, just for your own self, for your own benefit. Whenever you give, there's always something you get in return. Whenever I bless a family and help them through a difficult time, whether it be spiritual teaching or talking or counsel or monetary gifts that Don and I will at times give, I always get blessed by seeing their face and to seeing a change happen in them. But that's not why I give. That's not why we should give. We don't give for selfish reasons. We give for others and because of God and what He's done so much for us. Well, if there are unacceptable gifts, there's definitely acceptable gifts. Let me give you four gifts that you can give to Jesus this year that, in my opinion, would be acceptable when given from the right heart. Let me ask, first of all, is there anybody of you that has someone on your Christmas list that's difficult to buy for because they have basically everything? Can I? My sons will ask me, as one of them has, what do you want, Dad? And I said, well, I really don't need anything. You know, well, I have to buy you something. And I says, well, you don't have to, but if you want to. So I tell them something like, you know, I don't know what you do around the house, but I don't have any slippers, but I do buy a lot of those socks from Costco, that are those white, thick ones, and I use them as my socks. And so they've been getting some holes in them. So I says, you know, buy me some socks. I'd love something like that. The point is, it's difficult to buy gifts for people who have virtually enough. And sometimes we can think that God has everything. But I'm telling you that God doesn't have everything. I don't want you to say that I'm a heretic preaching heresy, but the truth is, there are some things that God doesn't have and will never have unless you give it to Him. He'll never have your trust unless you give it. He'll never see you give Him your best unless you give it. He'll never receive your praise unless you give it. He'll never be first place in your life unless you give Him first place in your life. Those are four gifts that you can give Him. Give Him your trust this year. Give Him your trust. Faith is a voluntary matter, and Jesus doesn't have that unless you give it to Him. It's wonderful to trust God to such a point where you actually obey Him even when you can't see where you're going. Some of you need to trust God this season financially, and you need to say, you know, God, I don't know how ends are going to meet, but I'm going to align myself with your principles of Scripture. I'm going to give as you tell me to give, and in doing so, I'm going to trust you that you will supply. Some of us need to say, you know, God, whether you change things or not, you know how much I need you to change my wife who's living with me. If it weren't for her, I'd be happy. You know, I mean, you need to change my kids. You need to change this. You need to give me a better job. He wants you to trust Him, say, God, even if you don't change anything, I love you. It's okay. I'm happy with you. I have enough. I have life. I'm alive. And that's a gift of trust. Even if you don't change anything, I'm going to still praise you. That's trusting God. Wonderful gift. I love that when it comes to my family. Well, when they believe in me and trust in me, I love that. I know God does too. Give Him your best. A father loves it when a child, regardless of the outcome or what happens, he loves to see his kids give him the best. And God loves to see you give the best. How many of you employees, employers here? Any employers? You own a company, you oversee? Do you like it when your staff gives you half time? You know that they're there to fill up a space, but you know that they're not giving their best. They're not giving their all. I think all of us, if we owned a company, would love to believe that our employees are giving their best. Because when you give the best, it doesn't matter. Some may do more than others, but if both of them are giving their best, they both get a bonus because they're both a blessing to us. Let me tell you, your Father is blessed when you give your best. When you come here on a Sunday morning and I stand before you, I don't know what you think of me, but I'm telling you, I am the first one to tell you I'm not the greatest communicator around. But I'm also the first one to tell you that when I talk to you, I've given it my best. See, sometimes people aren't satisfied with a lot of things that a lot of us do in a lot of occupations, but if you've given your best, even though people may not like it, you can lay your head on the pillow at night because God likes you. He receives your gift because it's your best that you can do. So if you're a C student and you've given your best, or an A student, you've given the best, you're going to both get a reward from God because He sees that you've given it your all. Love Him with all of your heart. Love Him with all of your mind, all of your strength. Third gift that you can give Him is to give Him your praise. He will not have praise unless you give it to Him. That's why I'm so glad for those of you who have chosen to come today. those who haven't, there, I know there, there are some out of town, they're in places, but they'll pause and they'll give God praise. Give God praise this season. He's the reason for the season. I know it's a cliche, but he really is. He is the reason that we're able to move, live, and have our very existence. That's what the author writes in the book of Acts. You know, we don't have anything, John says, unless he's given it to us. Don't get proud and boast, think like, I'm a self-made man. No, you don't have anything unless someone's given it to you. And that someone happens to be God. He may have used people to bless you, but it comes from God. So make sure we give him praise. I like Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice, that's an offering, a gift of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name. And last of all, give him first place. My wife has a position that no one else, no other woman in this world will ever have. She's my wife. I give her first place in my life next to God. He's always first place. But make him first place, because if anything or anyone other than Jesus is first place in your life, then that's an idol. That's what they call idolatry. And so it's when he needs to be, if he's first place, it'll show up in your finances, it'll show up in your interests, it'll show up in your relationships, it'll show up in your schedule, you'll make room for Jesus. That's how you know. If none of those things are happening in your life, in any of those areas, you have to ask yourself the question, is Jesus really first place in my life? Because it will show up. That's how it takes place. Let me wrap up by reading one scripture that I read this past week, and it caused me to think deeply about this Christmas season and this topic of gifts. And it's found in Romans 1:11. And as I read it, it reminded me of a very difficult season that we went through. And there have been several difficult Christmas seasons that we have gone through as a family. And it's from Romans 1:11. It says this, Paul speaking, I long to see you, so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. That you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, he says. So I look forward to connecting. I look forward to being with my family this next few weeks. And Paul says, I look forward to being with you so that I can impart a spiritual gift. And this spiritual gift will make us strong. As I read that, I recalled several years where we had a very meager income. We actually were living below the poverty line in the first 10 years of ministry. There were years where we couldn't afford to buy a tree. Dick and Andy Christensen, you remember them. They bought us our first Christmas tree. We just had a small room, but it was in our room. We didn't have any kids at the time, but didn't have any decorations, but we had a tree there, and we were able to celebrate. There have been times as my kids grew a little older that I'd have to say to them, sit them down and say, listen, guys, we can't really celebrate Christmas this year because we don't have a lot of finances. And it was as if the Lord said, excuse me, did I hear that right? You can't celebrate Christmas because you don't have enough finances to buy some gifts. That's what Romans 1:11 reminded me of. It's kind of, there's such a thing as spiritual gifts, you know, that we can exchange with each other. And it was almost like a whack on the butt. It's kind of, excuse me, you know, oh, we can't, you don't have enough money, so you can't celebrate my birth. Excuse me, but yes, you can. And I started to think, you know, God, what are really the best gifts that we can give people? And I started to think about the spiritual gifts. Now, we have, many of you know, and if you've been coming here recently, we just finished a book. The staff put this book together called The ABCs of Love. It's to finalize our year-long focus on love, love opportunities, victories, and evangelism. This next year, I'm looking forward to 2016 because we're going to talk about faith and see how faith moves us beyond our natural realm to see a balance of that working in our lives. But this was written to kind of sum this year up. These will be available next week for a couple few hundred of you who pre-registered. You can pick up the books, and if you'd like to purchase one, you're welcome to. But I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna give two books, one to each son. And I haven't done it yet because I've started to seek the Lord for the spiritual gift that I want to give them. But a spiritual gift will strengthen them. And in the cover of the book, I'm going to do three segments. I'm going to do my thoughts, my thanks, my thoughts about them, my thanks to them, and my prayer for them. Just three little segments. Because a spiritual gift is seeing people the way God sees them and telling them about that. And I'll tell you, there's something about hearing someone tell you the truth about what they see in you can be encouraging. I still have my letter from my seventh grade youngest son in my records. He wrote me a letter that year of his appreciation. I still have that letter. I probably will get my two sons something more than this. I will give them another small gift, but this is going to be my gift to them. It's the book, but even more than the book, it's the spiritual gift that I will write. I want to encourage you parents. You may have a lot of money, you may have some money, you may have no money. I don't care what spectrum, please consider giving your kids, regardless of their age, a spiritual gift. And it's not going to come necessarily quickly. You may have to go shopping for a present for 2 or 3 hours. And you may have to go to Target, then Walmart, and you have to go to some other places. So rather than do that, you may have to spend an hour fasting and praying and saying, God, show me, give me insight into my daughter, into my child. Show me what makes them tick. Tell me what you want for them. Would you show me a scripture? I'm going to be reading this next week. Show me a scripture that would be just for them. And God can give that to you. So ask him. Seek for it. Maybe give up a meal. Fast a meal just for your kids. And say, God, I want to give them a gift that will last. And yes, I'm going to buy some other things. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a good statement. But I want to give a spiritual gift. And if you do, I'll tell you, you can strengthen your family. Dads especially, coming from you. Moms, this is not to underestimate the power in the family for you. You have a tremendous power. But dads, I'm telling you, you have a tremendous amount of power with your kids. And take time. It may be uncomfortable for you. Maybe you don't like to say you love them. I can never remember my dad ever telling me he loved me. I felt like I was loved, but I never remember those words. Nor does any of my sisters. There's something wrong with that. And I mean, we ought to be able to, our kids ought to remember times when we've said that, but boy, write it down. Use the best penmanship you've got. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be a whole page like I will write. Just write down something you see in them and pray and write out a prayer for your kids. Wrap it up. Give it to them. And then when they open it, let them read it. Or you can read it to them as they open it. What a tremendous way to celebrate. Christmas is all about Jesus. But it's all about gifts too. It's about the gift of Jesus. And he's revealed himself time and time again through the tremendous gift. I've received it, you've received it if you know him. The gift of salvation. The gift of forgiveness. I've taken advantage, I think, of the gift of grace that so often I am in need of, and he continues to offer it. His loving kindness. I just jotted down 50 gifts that come from the Bible without even opening the Bible. So there's hundreds of gifts that he gives to us. Christmas is all about Jesus, and it's all about gifts, the greatest gift in the world. Let's the gifts that we exchange together remind us of him. And please, don't feel any pressure, but hey, cook the cake, especially if you got little kids. Let them have a tradition of loving Jesus. I've asked the team to come out the first service. I hope they're able to come out the second service. If not, we'll make some of the conclusion. But I'd like to have the team sing for us Joy to the World again. And let's rejoice in him. Let's stand together. And I realize that there may be here today people in this season of time who you've never received the gift of salvation. But those songs that we sang, really, they are songs that tell us that there has come a Savior. And if you wouldn't mind, I'd love to lead all of us in a prayer. And if you've never received Jesus into your heart and you would like to today, then pray this from your heart. I'm going to pray it from my heart, and I'd like to have you do the same. And if you don't know Jesus, just repeat these words and open the door for God to come, because he's knocking on your door, and he's knocking on my door, and he says, I want to be with you at Christmas. I want to be with you. I want to have lunch with you at Christmas. I want to touch you at Christmas. Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house this Christmas. God wants to come to your house, and he can change your family, whole dynamics. When the spirit of your house is the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, your house, the atmosphere will change, and it'll be conducive to the power of the Holy Spirit. Dear Jesus, repeat after me. Dear Jesus, today I love you. I thank you for your gifts. The gift of salvation. The gift of forgiveness. We need you. I receive these gifts because of your love. I know I've failed. I know I don't deserve it. But you're giving me these gifts. And I repent of my sins. And receive the gifts of life. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we conclude today by saying thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. And thank you, Jesus, that you came. And Holy Spirit, we pray, you being in us, those who know you, pray that you'd help us to glorify Jesus this season. And may every gift that's given to each other speak of how good you are to us. Amen and amen. Well, let's sing together, Joy to the World, and then Beth will dismiss us.
Great week.